The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Comforting classics.
Fresh new content.
Something old.
Something new.
Join Emma and Lucy each month for a new podcast from Fan Critical. Hello and welcome to another episode of Something Old, Something New.
Yay.
The Fan Critical podcast where Lucy, moi and Emma,
hello,
toi, discuss something old that we've watched and something new that we've watched. So that can be film, that can be TV. We could probably like branch out to books or podcasts, but we haven't as of yet. But there aren't really any rules on this podcast.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know you, Miss Bookworm over there.
Wow.
Have you read any books recently?
I'll be honest, Lucy. So it turns out that when your life gets back to normal after the pandemic and you no longer commute on a tube, reading is hard to find the time.
Yeah.
I haven't read a book for 2 months.
Jesus, for you,
I haven't even picked up a book.
Bad. Oh, wow. I like to read at night to unwind. That's the only time I read.
Yeah, I used to. But now I live with someone and that just doesn't work anymore. It's not my quiet, peaceful, beautiful space.
That'll go. Don't worry. You'll get to the stage where you can easily just sit in silence next to them, read a book.
Oh, it's not that. It's just that there's a person there in my way.
Oh, that's true. They may want to converse with you.
So the answer is no, but I did just borrow a book from a friend of a friend, which I've been meaning to read for ages, which is Sally Rooney's Conversations with Friends, which I've never read before.
Oh, yes. No, I haven't read any of her stuff, but Normal People on TV was very good.
So I read Normal People, haven't watched it. I loved the book. It was amazing. So actually, I'm quite looking forward to reading that. That might be a weekend job. Because, of course, I was off work for a year, wasn't I, on furlough. So all I had to do was read and clean.
Well, that was a nice little interlude just about books. Maybe we could do a little book club once we start reading again. Well, I'm reading, but not at any great length. That would be very nice. But yes, today we'll be discussing something old that we've watched and something new that we've watched. Now, that could be new to us or it could be brand new. It's just come out. So the rules are quite flexible here and the interpretations of them can be anything, really. Emma, would you like to start? Is there any like particular way round you'd like to start, or does it?
Actually, I will start. Is there like a theme? Because I can segue it from that conversation. So what's happened?
What's happened
in my life lately is that I've moved in with my other half, which is delightful, and he's moved a television into the bedroom.
Yep, love that. Got one.
For a long time, I've been no telly in the bedroom, which is probably why I read so much. Quite often at night, he'll fall asleep watching the telly and I'll bury my head in a pillow because I can't sleep when there's light or sound. But the other night, neither of us could sleep. So we should put on an old classic, something we both really enjoy, that we've seen so many times that we'll fall asleep whilst watching it.
I really hope you're going to talk about The Mummy again. I could have another conversation about The Mummy.
But I still haven't got around to watching The Mummy Returns yet and I really want to. So what we decided to go for, the classic Tarantino, Pulp Fiction.
Which I have only just seen this year.
Yeah.
Because I had never seen
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Relaxing film.
Having thought that would be the kind of thing where we could watch it and go, oh, we know everything that happens, we'll just doze off. I stayed up and watched the whole thing. Because no matter how many times I see it, and you know, we'll do a bit of harking back to your how the fuck have you not seen that, but Pulp Fiction for me is timeless. It does not age. It's still as awesome to me as it was the first time I watched it as a youth. And every time I watch it, there's something different that jumps out to me. So this time I'd forgotten how good John Travolta is. Because I'm not a huge John Travolta fan. And I don't normally, you know, he doesn't normally kind of
make good films
or spark any kind of joy in me, but he does in this.
What about in Hairspray?
In what
have you seen Hairspray?
No, Hairspray. I have not.
Ah, how the fuck have we not seen that? Okay, well, he will probably spark some joy.
Okay, well, that might spark some joy. But he sparked some joy for me in this. Because, you know, when the film opens up with him and Samuel L. Jackson, and it's just ridiculous, right? His character is ridiculous. The whole film is ridiculous. It's all nonsense. But I just really enjoy it. And every time I watch it, I forget about the stellar performance from Tim Roth. Tim Roth is...
In the cafe.
Yeah, he is never anything that he isn't brilliant at, right? And he's just so... You can't take your eyes off him on the screen. And I have always said that Pulp Fiction is my favourite Tarantino film. And that's not just because of my fond memories or the fact that it's an excellent film or the story's fantastic, that the cast is amazing, but because it does stand the test of time for me. You know, it's got a very bizarre sort of vintage vibe to it in a way.
Yeah, I think the aesthetic is quite timeless because it's not immediately identifiable when it's set. It could really be set in any point, like in the 50s, in the 60s, in the 80s. Like, it's not... There's nothing, no real pop culture signifiers to kind of make it stand out as one particular era. And that's why I think when you watch it, like you say, it hasn't aged, because probably even at the time of watching it, it didn't seem modern per se, like for the aesthetic of it. But yeah, what sort of time did you start watching it? Because I would fall asleep.
Well, I'm usually, if I start watching anything after 8:30, I'm fast asleep. I'd gone past tired. You know when you go like, oh, I'm really tired at 8:30, it's too early to go to bed. And then I think it was about 10. So I had a very late night and I was very tired and grumpy the next day. But it was worth it. It was worth it. And I have to say, it's Uma Thurman for me that really pulls this whole thing together.
She's very much not in it much, though, because I think, obviously, when I watched it for the first time, as I say, this year, kind of expecting she's the centrepiece with that dance and everything, but she's not in it very much at all.
No, she's so kind of...
It's kind of false advertising.
Yeah, it's interesting, because she's in the background as a kind of unseen character in a lot of places.
And she's a plot device in that a lot of the story is around her, keeping her safe or whatever.
But when she is on screen, oh, she just blows you away, doesn't she? Like, she's because she's so weird, and I think that's the only word I can think of for her is weird.
She's almost like, she's obviously beautiful, but she's also quite weird looking. She's extremely tall and lanky. She could be an alien in that respect. Like, her features are quite exaggerated. She's really gangly, and she's beautiful in a way that is quite alien. And that's very interesting to watch, rather than just someone that's just hot.
Yeah, well, and that's it, isn't it? She's almost like, almost ethereally beautiful, but in a very angular way. She's just different. She's not what you would expect her to be. And I think, there are still some parts of that interaction between her and Vince Vega, with her and John Travolta, that are my favourite parts of that movie. Like, the first time he turns up and everything's all, like, really modern with the intercom and, you know, she's upstairs just racking up a load of lines of coke, you know, ready to go. And I just am watching him. The whole thing is very surreal. And that's what sort of sets the tone for me about his journey in the film. I really enjoy it. I really enjoy, the comfort of it, like the comfort of knowing what's going to happen and knowing that I'm going to be excited by it, even though I know exactly how it's going to end. So, yeah, I mean, that for me was a really enjoyable kind of heart back to something I really enjoyed the first, second, 20th time. And actually, it's funny because I said to Joe a couple of nights ago, I was like, what I really want is a bad 90s action flick.
Oh, that's all I ever want to watch.
All I ever want to watch.
Not bad, but just, I basically want to watch The Fugitive.
Yes, yes.
Again and again and again. But not the Fugitive, but I want to watch a film basically like that standard quality, hopefully starring Harrison Ford with some iconic lines. Like, I know exactly what you mean. There's sometimes you're like, oh, that's just what I want.
We've been accidentally watching a lot of Bruce Willis films.
It's a good accident.
Very good accident.
I mean, how many of them are good?
Very, very little.
What ones are you watching?
So what we had recently watched is The Jackal. 1999.
I have not seen it.
Well, it depends what you're looking for, Lucy, because Bruce Willis actually is very good as a like an assassin that has lots of disguises and is very cool. But his nemesis in the film is Richard Gere playing in a Northern Irish IRA.
Fuck off.
And it is the worst Northern Irish accent.
Not Richard
I've ever Gere. Heard. It is fucking atrocious.
I mean, have you watched Patriot Games? Yes. Because we went through a Harrison Ford and you got Sean Bean, who is, you know, Sheffield. We love Sean Bean on the podcast. He does a Northern Irish accent, which is not great, but at least he's like regionally, it's not a million miles away from his accent. Fucking Richard Gere does not look like he's ever been.
I haven't told you the best
north
bit
of Dublin. He just hasn't got the features.
The best bit is
Richard Gere.
He co-stars alongside Sydney Poitier.
Mr. Sydney Poitier, okay. He's not Northern Irish terrorist.
No, he's
is
a
he's
a that US police agent, FBI agent.
Okay. That's
Richard Gere's Northern Irish accent in The Jackal even overshadows the fucking atrocious Russian accent from the woman who's in it. So, I mean, it's hilarious. And it was quite fun.
I need to watch
it. I think
it.
You'd quite enjoy it. I think it's on BBC
iPlayer. I need to at least Google the accent.
Just get a clip of him getting really emotional in Northern Irish, because it's, I mean, it's insulting, quite frankly, to Northern Ireland.
Oh my God. To the peace process. Yeah, oh. Like, come on. You could have undone the whole thing, Richard. Think ahead.
I wouldn't be surprised if he had. Oh. But
I'm laughing and I haven't even heard it.
But you know what? And the funny thing about that is that, like, Bruce Willis is quite good in that. And he's very good in Pulp Fiction. And that was where I was going with this. And that, you know, you forget how many things he pops up in. He has such a, like, what's essentially quite a small part in Pulp Fiction, but he's awesome.
But yeah, his part is in a really exciting part of the film. His plot line, them escaping and all that from the gimp shop, as I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
All of that, the fight and all that, the boxing match is a good... It's a good part of the film, and he's just got charisma, and that's why he's a movie star, and that's why he was able to carry so many of those big blockbuster empty action films. It's because he filled them with his screen presence and charisma.
Yeah, totally. And I, you know, I
and he's
Bruce.
Got a good sense of humor. Like, I know you love him, absolutely love him. He's also, I say he's got a good sense of humor. Like, I know him. That's not what I mean. He's got comic timing. Like, he's very He's funny.
And he's also...
He started off in comedies, I believe.
I think you might be right. But he's also got a sense of humour about himself. So there are times when you see him do something and you can tell that he knows it's ridiculous. And that I quite like that, because it's nice to, you know, he has a bit of kind of piss-taking of himself.
Mm. Yeah. Yep, Bruce is good. Bruce does what he says on the tin. And I particularly enjoy his cameo. Well, it's not really a cameo, but his... guest role in Friends. I literally think he's so funny in that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he lifted up a show I dislike greatly with his cameo.
Do you hate it?
I just don't think it's funny, Lucy. I'm sorry.
It's just been on so much that it is like...
I missed the boat with it. I didn't watch it when it was the thing. And now I look back and I think, no.
Yeah, I think it would be very hard to come to it new... Mm. And be moved, be charmed, find it funny, because it's quite dated. And if you don't already know the characters, you're not going to let things go. You're just going to be like, that's not funny. Like, laughter track, annoying.
It just never clicked with me. I understand why people loved it so much. Just never clicked for me. However, I will allow that it is hilarious when Bruce Willis turns up dating Jennifer Aniston and also being the father of the girl that Ross is banging. So, I remember the episode. It's called Bruce Willis in it.
Of course.
So
hijinks ensued.
So this is now not the Something Old, Something New podcast. This is the Bruce Willis podcast.
This is just chatting about everything, about bad accents, about Bruce Willis, about Friends, about 90s sitcoms that didn't age well, but you still love. It's just books, whatever.
Yeah, anything we want.
Whatever, whatever.
15 minutes of joy for you all.
But I will try and get us back on track. With my, so you've done something old, so I'll do something new. So, like many people in the UK and in the world, I would say, judging by the Netflix ratings, I have binged and I've completed Squid Game, which is a South Korean show by, it's created by Hwang Dong-hyuk. So if I've said that wrong, I hate it when people go, excuse my pronunciation. But I do want you to excuse me. I've done my best there.
Sounds like you've nailed it.
Yeah, I don't know about that. You haven't watched it, have you, Emma?
No, I haven't.
So I don't want to do spoilers. Are you going to watch it? I'm not going to do spoilers anyway.
I probably will at some point. But
I recommend you do.
Interested to hear your thoughts on it.
Okay, so I'm going to give a... I assume you know something about what it's about.
Yeah, vaguely. So it's a load of people who go into a thing to win money and have to play children's games.
Yes, basically. So people have described it to me as a combination of The Hunger Games and Saw, which led me to think it would be a bit different to what it actually is.
I've heard Hunger Games and Black Mirror.
Yes, that's probably a more accurate description, because Saw makes... I thought they were all going to die in like increasingly inventive ways, but that's not the case.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
First couple of episodes, because that's what I was expecting, and I'm a bit squeamish with horror, but I was told it wasn't scary, and it isn't scary, but it is quite brutal. And that's the thing, when you're like, they build up the characters in a way that you do care about them. So when it gets to certain points, you're like, oh no, I don't want that to happen to that person, I don't want that to happen, which is obviously really effective, and that's worked really well. But yeah, I remember by the second, it's just the second episode, I was like, I'm finding this sad. I'm not finding this like fun and like, ooh, scary and gruesome. But it does, yeah, because basically these people have entered this game. They've been offered to enter this game where they can win, I think the amount it equals to about £27 million, which I don't know what that would be in dollars, maybe about just under $50 million.
Yeah, about that.
So they compete, and they all have, basically they're all in loads of debt, these people. So they've been targeted because of their debt. And they've all got various backstories as to why they're in debt, why they need the money, why they're competing. And it just goes from there, basically. There's people are eliminated, and that can be quite brutal. And it's quite clearly like a, just a takedown of capitalism, really, and commercialism.
So can I ask, Lucy, because obviously I've read things about it, I just haven't watched it yet. Did you watch it with voiceover or subtitles?
No, you have to watch it with subtitles.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. But apparently some people don't.
I know. Well, I watched Gogglebox. I don't know if you've ever watched Gogglebox. Mm. For listeners outside of the UK, Gogglebox is a show about people watching TV, as in they will watch real TV and their reactions are filmed. It's quite entertaining. But they watched it on there and it was dubbed and it sounded so shit, like terrible American accents. They all sounded the same. And I think the dialogue just completely lost any nuance. I will say some of the acting is quite OTT. I think that's just the style. I don't know if that's just like sometimes Korean TV to us seems quite over the top. And there is a bit, I won't give anything away, but Western actors enter it and they're just shit. It's so over the top and ridiculous. We're just looking at each other like, what the fuck? One guy sounds like Will Ferrell. I'm literally like, this is supposed to be like serious and quite horrific, and you sound like Will Ferrell.
Oh my God.
I can't take it seriously. Yeah. So that was a bit, there are some loose ends, and the ending for me didn't have the impact I thought it would from how it was built up, but I really enjoyed it and it was quite bingy. I was like, I need to watch the next one. See, made me cry.
Really? See, I'm thinking it's
emotional.
It's something I might want to spend a Sunday binging.
You might need to stop at points and just be like, I'm sad. But you can, yeah, it's 9 episodes, one of which is half an hour. I think the rest are an hour. So you could do it if you really put your mind to it. We just watched it over a week and I watched a couple of nights sometimes. Once you get into it, it doesn't start slow. But yeah, I just thought it'd be like cartoon violence. And actually I'm like, oh, I care now. And now I'm like, but that's obviously good, and that's good programming. But yeah, I recommend it. And I realise we never actually do this, but I'm going to give it 4 bloobs because it's new and I feel like we should start doing that sort of thing. So yeah, Squid Game. I'm going to give a couple of shout outs actually, because there's some really strong... There's lots of very good looking people in the show. So
I've seen some of the cast. They are beautiful.
Bloody hell. You got some like proper like K-pop looking guys. The girl in it, Sebyeok, the sort of main female character,
yeah,
is just absolutely stunning. I think she's now the face of like Louis Vuitton or something, but she's got such a captivating face. I'm like, I just want to look at your face all the time.
Oh wow.
And Yeah, it's really, really good. I just was a bit disappointed. And there's something they do, like a plot point that's quite emotional is then reversed by the end. And you're like, oh, that kind of undermines everything that I felt. Which again, isn't really a spoiler unless you've seen it. But yes, really enjoyed it. And I do recommend it if you're wanting something just quite, it's just quite compulsive viewing. And I like watching stuff with subtitles. I think it opens you up to a lot more.
I do.
Media that you would never watch. And I'm glad this has got the notoriety. Like after, did you ever watch Parasite? Which is also fantastic.
Parasite was incredible.
Yeah. So, I mean, South Korea has been making great horror films for years and years. Not that Parasite is, but obviously won the best Oscar. And I just think we actually started watching just before I gave birth. What was it called? It was a South Korean show. I think it was called Kingdom. And it was about like a zombie outbreak in like the 12th century or something. Really good. But after I had a baby, I was like, it's a bit intense for me. There's lots of man-eating, flesh-eating zombies.
No.
But yeah, just the shows are really, I just think they're really different, really unique. And just, yeah, enjoyable.
Was Train to Busan South Korean?
Yep, South Korean as well.
That's excellent.
Very good.
Fucking terrifying that. I had nightmares about it for weeks.
I
like subtitles if I'm in the mood for subtitles. I have to.
You do have to be in the mood.
Yeah, I really, really have to be in the mood for it. And it's a challenge. I just can't engage if I'm not, you know, quite often after a long day at work, I'm, you know, I've been staring at a screen all day. I don't want to go and stare and read stuff. I just want to sort of look at people's faces blurrily.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. But it's good in another way because it means like you can't look at your phone, you can't be distracted, you have to just focus. That's kind of what I mean, though, when I say binging it all day. I don't know if you'll be able to because you'll just have to read. And don't have it dubbed.
Yeah, that might be a bit exhausting.
What they're dubbing isn't actually really what's being said, so you're losing quite a lot.
No, and this is some of the stuff that I've been reading about. It's like the translation is just a bit dodgy in general. Which is interesting.
I would recommend it. And I think, it's one season. It doesn't take long, really. You could do it in a week quite easily if you could just dedicate yourself to it and reading. Let me know what you think once you've watched it, because I did like it. A lot of Halloween inspiration as well,
ooh.
I'll say. Halloween costumes.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Important for this time of year.
Very important as we move into in 3 weeks today, Halloween.
I know. I've got some of my decks up in the front room. Not like, I don't do like scary, horrible stuff. I do like sort of pumpkins and just more of a witchy vibe.
Yeah, but you don't want to terrify your daughter, do you? You know, she is only one.
No, she just keeps picking up the pumpkins and trying to eat them. But they're covered in glitter, so that's probably not safe. But
no wonder she tries to keep picking them up and eat them. Ooh, glittery orange! Bless
her. Sparkle. Yes. On to you and your something new.
My something new. So I watched 4 episodes of an ITV drama that was released last month, which is the second series of something that I thoroughly enjoyed. So a few years back, Martin Clunes starred in the TV show Manhunt.
Yes, I watched it.
And he was amazing, right? So then out of nowhere, it's like, oh, there's a season 2. And we're like, what? What? What are you talking about? So there's a season 2 of Manhunt, which is about the night stalker of Southeast London. And this guy robbed, trigger warning, raped and sometimes killed elderly people in the Southeast London area for something like 30 years? Yeah, horrific.
Fucking
I don't
hell.
Remember this at all.
I don't remember this.
No, but legit
no,
real
I
thing.
Don't remember this.
No, unbelievable. Anyway, so this is it's a 4-part series. Martin Clunes plays Colin Sutton, who does a lot of really interesting like true crime memoir stuff. You know, he was responsible for catching Levi Belfield.
Yes. So is it the same character, same detective?
Yeah, same character. So he's about to retire, and then they ask him to go in and kind of take a look at the investigation into the Night Stalker because it's stalled. They've never done anything else. And he kind of gets the impression that it might be a way to make him go out looking like a fool after he'd obviously caught Belfield and, you know, saved everybody from the killer of Millie Dowler and many other women. Just
yes.
Millie. But actually, what happens... So there's this whole thing about, like, you know, he's working with the task force and... he's trying to gain their trust and their support and everything. And there's a few kind of internal dramas. There's this huge, I don't want to give too many spoilers, but huge operation to catch the guy. And it is just, I don't know what it is about Martin Clunes, but in this character, in this role, he is captivating because he's not brash or aggressive or, you know, really forthright. He's gentle and considered and intelligent and kind. And there's something about seeing a character like that in a police procedural that you don't see very often. And it was absolutely fascinating. I've got to say, he blew me away again. So I would highly recommend watching it. There are some interesting performances within it as well. Nobody that I recognise, so some quite sort of up-and-coming or, you know, actors getting a slightly bigger part in shows where they've maybe done smaller parts before. It's gripping. It's four parts instead of three, which is fantastic, and it is all available on ITV Hub now, so you binge the whole thing. But what amazed me about it was that, so they caught the guy in 2006. So it's not old.
So is this set before...
Oh, no, it must be later
than that,
then.
The last one.
It's after Millie.
I mean, she died. She was murdered, what, like 2003, 2004?
Yeah, so it's not long after.
Right, but they didn't catch him for ages, though, did they?
Yeah, but he started in, like, the 80s.
No, I'm talking about Levi Belfield.
Oh, so maybe my dates are off. Maybe my dates are off. I can't remember.
Because, oh, I don't know, maybe mine are off. I just don't remember him being
caught. No, I think you're right about Millie.
Maybe he was. I'm going to Google it. Classic. Carry on.
Yeah, anyway, so I just, for something that is a little bit different, in that it's not flashy.
He was, just to go back, sorry, he was found guilty on 25th of February 2008. So I guess it was kind of a little bit before they actually got him. Oh no, he's apprehended in 2004. So yeah, you must be right, sorry.
Oh yeah, I must be. Wow.
He wasn't sentenced until
it was one of those things where I should have known about this and I didn't. I knew nothing about it. The amount of victims, and there were a few scenes in it where it really caught me by surprise in terms of like the fear I felt. It was very, very well staged, very well structured. You really got to feel something for the characters who were involved, not just Colin Sutton, everybody else as well. And it, you know, again, I think the thing for me that makes it really enjoyable is that it's not a Line of Duty or a Waking the Dead or a, you know, I should say Cold Feet then, that's not what I mean. Silent Witness, you know, all of that stuff. It's not rough. It's just clever. It's emotional. And it's really, I think, very considerate of and respectful to the victims, which I think is really important. I'd highly recommend it for a watch. It's British crime drama at its peak.
Wow. I mean, I have to say, I think, I don't know if it's a combination of having a baby and I just can't really do true crime anymore. Like, I used to listen to Case File podcast, which I think you used to listen to as well. I used to love it. And now I'm just like, oh, and like What Happened with Sarah Everard, which is a case here recently, which is just horrific as well. I'm like, I don't think I can watch anything where the murder of people is, you know what I'm going to say, is entertainment. I've just watched Squid Game, which is exactly that. But that's not real. It's watching something that actually happened to someone as entertainment. Like, there's on Channel 4 at the moment, I don't know if you know, I think Ian Rankin, who's a top crime writer, I know you know that, but just to tell the audience,
Rebus novels,
they don't know, he has scripted a murder for like viewers to participate in and solve on Channel 4. And I'm just like, it's not actually entertainment. It's like, a young woman's been murdered. It's like, yeah, that happens fucking all the time. And you're doing a TV show literally where people go, wow, she did this. So she might, it's like, I find it very distasteful, especially in the current environment.
I think it's hugely distasteful. I'm actually really disappointed in Ian Rankin. I didn't, there's a part of it where you look at it and you think, you know, fine, Make a documentary, if you're respectful about it, after a certain period of time, for a reason, not just for, you know, entertainment.
You can definitely be respectful. And I don't necessarily think ban true crime, because you can do it respectfully. And I think Case File always did.
Yeah. But this is something
that, for me personally,
hits home too hard right now, doesn't it? You know.
100%. I think they should have shelved it at least to a time where women are not everywhere discussing their own safety and how to prevent being murdered, and the role the police have played, whether in the Sarah Everard case where a police officer murdered her and used his badge to lure her into the car, or the way the police have...
If you're unsure, just ask for some ID, get on a bus, or run away.
Yeah, so that's fine. But yeah, I just think that specific show seems very irresponsible right now. But yeah, I mean, I watched the Manhunt, the first one, and really enjoyed it. And I thought it was respectful. But then, like, Millie Dowler's family were really upset by it. And that's who you kind of have to listen to. I've watched them all, pretty much. I've watched... did you watch the one with Martin Freeman? Confession?
Yeah.
Now, that was fantastic. Drama. And was so respectful.
With Thingy from EastEnders.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah. Matthew.
Yeah.
Matthew, I think he was in EastEnders. So it's called The Confession, and it was on ITV, which British channel. Martin Freeman was in it. What's her name? Imelda Staunton. Fantastic. And who's that lady? Siobhan, who was also in Time. Siobhan something.
Oh, damn it. Yeah, what was her name?
Oh, I thought I was going to be really slick and remember it. But anyway, if you like true crime, that is done really respectfully. But I do think it's just a personal preference. At the moment, I'm a bit, I don't know if I want to watch. Like, I think in how, like, 20 years' time, 10 years' time, are they going to be doing a show about Sarah? And I'm like, I just, my appetite for it has gone. But it sounds very good what you've said. And also, I've never heard of that case. And I intended to look it up.
Which is what baffled me, because all of the areas I knew so well. That's what was terrifying about it.
I suppose if it was 2006, how old would you have been then?
17.
Fairly young. Yeah, so you might not have been aware. Like, you might not remember it happening if he was apprehended.
No, it probably wasn't really kind of line of sight then, I suppose.
Did they know that the crimes were linked at the time and they were just trying to find out? Or did it seem like it was just horrible random stuff? But they didn't have many matches.
They couldn't match it to anyone. It's really interesting. And actually, I then went and read up about the investigation and the task force. And the whole thing is really interesting, how they pushed to so hard. It's called Operation Minstead. And at one point they have a little, don't know. And then they have a little sub one called Minstead Light for a little while, which is like a slight change in tactics. And that's amusing. It's really, really clever the way that they, you know, Martin Clunes came in. Martin Clunes, he wasn't a policeman. Colin Sutton came in.
He just came in and did it.
Yeah, Martin Clunes solved the case. And what more do you need to know? I'd recommend you watch it when you feel like watching it, because it's not pleasant. It's not, you know, grotesque or overly gratuitous.
No, and I know they are responsible when they do these
but
things.
But there are some.
And I think they make really good true crime shows.
There are some brutal scenes.
We'll see. Maybe one day I'll feel like, you know what? I want to read about true crime. I want to listen to it and I want to watch it. But yeah, at the moment I just feel a bit like, eh. But then, you know, Squid Game was very murderous, but at least it wasn't based on a true story that we know of.
Yeah, we don't know of yet. Let's not give anyone any inspiration. What's your something old, Lindis?
So my something old is an absolute stone cold classic. I'm surprised. I know it's been brought up before as an influence to other stuff we've covered, but it was on at about 5 o'clock today. Perfect Sunday afternoon film, and it is the 1985, not Steven Spielberg directed, but Steven Spielberg produced, I suppose, The Goonies.
Oh, The Goonies.
I love The Goonies.
Oh,
who doesn't love The
so
Goonies?
So much. God,
I was so happy
ages.
When I saw it was on. It was on Channel 5.
Oh.
Go and get it on your player. Yeah, I just love it. I love the setting, like the kind of Western seaboard or Pacific seaboard, whatever they call it. I love the little guys in it. I love Mouth. I love Corey Feldman. Sean Astin. I was just like, baby Sam. I just love him.
I always forget he was in the Goonies.
And I know. Every time I watch it, I'm like, it's Sam.
Oh, it just, the nostalgia of that film.
It is off the charts. There's
nothing better, is there? Nothing better.
It's really like a warm hug. Josh Brolin, such a hunk. Even then, I said to Aaron, I was like, that's Thanos. He was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, it's Thanos. It's like, doesn't look like him. He's not purple, but it's Thanos.
If he coloured him in with a Sharpie. It's, you know, Len says this all the time, but that is such a perfect Sunday afternoon film.
Yeah. Oh. I invented that saying it's a Sunday afternoon film, by the way. That wasn't Len. It's me. I'm the one, okay? But even, just watching it as I did, it's fine. Stranger Things just drew so much from it and did really well with it, but it's quite surprising some of the dialogue and how I'm not actually sure how old they are supposed to be. How old are they, like 11 or 12?
That's what I always assumed, yeah. So sort of like pre-teens.
But some of their conversations, when it gets a little bit not like sexual, but they're making them kind of jokes, I'm like, yeah, the 80s really didn't care about that sort of thing in those days.
The 80s was totally cool about anything, like, you know, do what you like, guys.
Yeah, whether anything goes. But yeah, it's just really enjoyable to watch. And obviously, Sloth and the Costellos. Hey, you guys. The pirate ship. The friendship. The brother. The relationship between Sean Astin, whose character name is Mikey, and Josh Brolin, whose character name is Brand. Their, like, brotherly relationship. And the fact that Josh Brolin can kind of, like, not pick on them, but he's the older brother, but actually he's seen as a bit of a loser as well, even though he's really hot. So it's like, why would he be the loser? This doesn't make any sense. But he can't drive and he gets bullied and stuff. Not bullied, but they kind of pick on him a bit.
It's one of those films.
Comforting.
Yeah, and it's one of those films that's from a time, isn't it? So, you know, you've got The Goonies and... What's Wrong with Me? River Phoenix.
Oh, Stand By Me.
Thank you. And kind of all of that era of young preteen or early teen boys and their friendship groups and the trials and tribulations they go through. Okay, The Goonies as a pirate ship is a bit different. But the same
I know what
feel.
You mean. It's that preteen friendship.
Yeah.
In a time where you could have adventures and it wasn't just sitting on your phone.
Yeah. It's really, there's something very kind of golden age about it.
It is. And it's just, just watching it just literally makes you feel better. It's like, oh, everything's okay because I'm watching this. I'm seeing the truffle shuffle and I just feel, I've just had a nice roast dinner and now I'm watching The Goonies. And yeah, that was my something old. It was like a bolt of inspiration just when I saw where it was on. I was like, I'm going to talk about that. Because
Lucy, you've nailed your Sunday. Roast dinner.
Have. Yeah.
That's amazing. Can I give an honorary mention for something new?
Yes, I might also do the same. So let's do it.
Last Sunday, I went to the cinema for the first time in about two and a half years.
There's only one film out. So did you see that one film?
We did go to see No Time to Die.
Okay.
Now, I'm not a massive James Bond fan. I like James Bond. I'll watch it. I wouldn't ordinarily go to the cinema, but A, Joe paid, B, it was £5 a ticket. I have to say that it was beautifully shot. Hans Zimmer's score was unbelievable. Lucy, have you seen it?
No.
Okay. And I'm not going to give any spoilers to anyone. And I've said this like for the last week when people have asked me about it. I'm not going to tell you anything about it, but the way that they ended it was bloody clever. And I really hope they hold that. Because I think it was right. And I really, so the Saturday night we'd rewatched Spectre.
So shit. I think that is dog shit. And retire James Bond because his film is fucking shit.
No Time to Die is It's good,
well,
Luce.
I thought Skyfall was good.
Yeah, Skyfall is good.
And I like Casino Royale. But I thought Spectre was dog shit. And by that point, I was like, they need to just end this character because who gives a fuck anymore? It's just ridiculous. Like, the plot holes in that film. And so I'm kind of like done with James Bond after watching that. And I've heard good things about this film. It's very long, apparently.
We just spent 3 hours in the cinema. It's 2 hours 43.
That's too long for James Bond. I'm sorry. But obviously, great director. What's the name? Phoebe Waller-Bridge scripted it, did she not? So I'm sure it is good. And will I watch it if it comes on TV? Maybe. I just think retire Bond now. It's dated. Him as a character does not fit in this modern world. And if you change him too much to fit in with the modern world, then he's not James Bond. James Bond's a misogynist with a drinking problem. That's okay. Well, it's not, but that's the character. But I don't want to see it anymore. I'm bored. I'm bored of the casual sexism, to be honest. I don't want to see it. Get a new spy. But I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I'm only making that.
I get very passionate.
No, I'm making that silent face because I agree with everything that you're saying, but also can't really comment. Because I haven't told you anything about the film, so.
Okay, fair. No, I mean, I've heard good things, and you know, another thing that's kind of got up my nose is that listening to the radio, watching TV for about a week, it was all just about fucking James Bond. It's like, James Bond's done this, and the film's done that, and it's like, why are you still reporting on this? This is not news, it's just one film.
Because it's the first film that's been in the cinema for like a decade.
No, I went to see In the Heights. There have been other films. I know big British film. Yeah, that's quite good. And it's obviously, for the industry, it's a big deal. But yeah, like I would listen to like Six Music and stuff in the morning, which is a BBC sort of alternative show. And you got the host talking about, oh, I was at the premiere. And then the next show is talking about, I'm like, why are you talking about James Bond so much? Can you just stop? Not everybody wants to hear anything about it. I did like his pink jacket at the premiere, so I will give it a little boost.
Well done, Daniel Craig. Well done. I would say when it comes on the telly, or if it comes on demand, watch it in two. Have an interval.
Yeah, I could do that.
Have an interval, because I miss intervals.
Will. Yeah, more films should have intervals. I mean, they only have them when they're long, so maybe they shouldn't. I want to be careful what I wish for there.
True. Sometimes if you go to local cinema, you have an interval sometimes here.
If it's long. If it's long. Who is your favourite Bond then on the subject of Bond?
It's got to be classic Sean Connery.
Okay. So he's your favourite. So is he your favourite or is he the best? Or are they both the same?
Oh, that's really difficult. So I think he's my favourite because I'm nostalgic about Sean Connery. I do think that in terms of the best, I would put Connery, Sean Connery and Daniel Craig neck and neck.
Okay, fair enough.
I think they both play it really well.
I think this will tell you everything you need to know about me and James Bond. I like Roger Moore the best. I don't care.
No, that's fine.
Roger Moore is camp.
It's also what's not, like
funny.
Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, Pierce is good. Pierce is good.
He's not that
I like
good.
Pierce Brosnan
he's
well.
Not the best.
I don't mind him. Obviously, I would say Sean Connery is the best, but my favourite is Roger Moore. And Live and Let Die is my favourite of the films. You know, bit of voodoo, bit of New Orleans. Good theme tune. Very camp one-liners. I bring that side of Bond back, I say. I don't want a realistic one.
I want a
raised eyebrow and a little quip.
Yeah, yes. You are right in that respect, Roger Moore. Yeah, you're right side, yeah.
That's a lot of fun to me.
What a lovely little five-minute distraction everyone's had there of us talking about James Bond.
That is nice.
Any honourable mentions from you, Luce?
Well, I watched Vigil. Did you watch Vigil?
No, I've not watched it yet. Because it turns out that Joe doesn't like Saran Jones, which I think
what
is
the
wrong.
Fuck?
Yeah, what the
She's
fuck?
She's a national treasure, okay?
Okay, and I said, have you not ever seen like Dr. Foster? And he said, no, because she's in it. I said, well, you're missing out, aren't you? And that's all I have
to say. Where's he got that he doesn't like her?
No
he
idea.
Won't watch anything with her?
No idea.
From Coronation Street. Probably. Move on, Joe. Move on. It's good. It's also got, well, basically, the first couple of episodes was basically, you know that meme of Leonardo DiCaprio pointing at the screen, like, from thing. That was me going Game of Thrones, because there's about 1,000 Game of Thrones actors in it.
Because you got Rose,
most notably Rose Leslie's in it. She's
who's
so...
actually what is she now, Rose Harrington?
Yes, but not professionally. She is so good. She is a fantastic actress. I love watching her. Yeah, she's really good. Stannis is in it for a bit. Who else is in it from it? Loads of people, but I think a lot of them are just like in the background. Anyway, yeah, it is. It was good. It was different. Like, I've never watched a crime thing set on a submarine.
So it's on my... So when Joe signed off sick, he hyperextended his knee.
Oh, poor thing.
So we can't go and fight
Maybe
fires.
If you liked Saran Jones a bit more... You wouldn't have hyperextended your
knee. Maybe.
That's
so
it works.
When he goes back to work, he does 2 night shifts every 8 days. So he does like 4 on, 4 off, and 2 of them are night shifts. So I'm just going to binge it on my own those 2 nights.
It is good. It was a good Sunday night drama. Yeah, I liked it. So I will give it a recommendation to you. And that's a good BBC drama. People outside of the UK, I don't know where you can watch it, to be honest. I don't know if you get the BBC iPlayer. BritBox, yeah. Try that. Try that old thing.
I think you get BBC in America. I think you can go to BBC iPlayer in America.
Well, give it a go, I say.
Yeah.
If you're claustrophobic, I'm claustrophobic, Darren. That's a Gemma Collins quip there. Very niche. Very niche. I kept saying it throughout. Quite annoying.
That's a bit niche for me even, mate, to be honest.
I know. I'm online too much. I'm too fucking online for all the memes.
Too cool. You're just too cool, aren't you?
No, not cool. I don't think knowing Gemma Collins references is cool. But now, okay, that's me. I think that's everything.
I think so too, Lucy.
Well, that was a good old chat.
It was. I really enjoyed it. And we've got recommendations each. I'm going to watch Vigil. You're going to watch Manhunt.
Yes, watch Squid Game as well.
And maybe Squid Game, yeah.
Watch that first. Don't let the subtitles put you off. It's fine.
I won't. I promise. And lots of recommendations for our listeners.
Yeah, I hope you found it enjoyable and that you've got something out of it. And maybe you've got some things to watch if you haven't already watched Squid Games. Or maybe you want to rewatch Goonies, because everyone's seen the Goonies, surely.
Yeah, all Pulp Fiction, because also great film.
Yeah, oh yeah, of course. Recommendations all over the shop. Well, thank you, Emma, for joining me on this Sunday evening.
Thank you, Lucy, for guiding us through our journey.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Well, I'll see you soon. And take care, everyone out there. And tune in to the next show, which is going to be...
A surprise!
A surprise. I think it's going to be Not All Sequels Are Created Equal. That is what my waters are telling me. But you know what? Who knows at the moment? We've got 2 of them off on paternity leave. We're just manning the ship and we don't know what we're doing. So
the ladies and John are in charge and it's a mess.
The lunatics have taken over the asylum.
But on that note, yes, thank you, Lucy. Next probably is Not All Sequels Are Created Equal. But we look forward to whatever it happens to be. Please tune in.
If not, it'll be great. You know us.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Take care. Stay safe. Bye.